So, Mike and Gina, I've worked on this, and I believe I've thought of the perfect question to start with you guys. So, is it the case that both of you feel deeply indebted to the person who did your wedding?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. More
slow answer.
More embittered.
Okay. So who would be responsible for that? I think that would be me, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So how many years now?
16.
16. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. We're proud of both of you. Start a little bit with kind of where you're coming from and how you're a part of our lives here. Mike, you grew up in
Norwood,
Missouri. And your folks were in the dairy business.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. The dad dairy farmed about 25 years, and then he runs Beefalo cattle now, does that. And so he's doing well, though. And then, so grew up on a dairy farm. And
okay. In Southwest
kind of
Missouri.
Left. Yeah, okay. Kind of South Central area.
Yeah. Gina, I know your dad's family has roots in the Hollister area and in the congregation at Hollister.
Yes.
Your mom's family is from here, right?
From here in the Kansas City area.
Okay. But when you were a teenager, you grew up with us over at North National.
Mm-hmm.
And so then in your college days, is that where you two met?
Yes.
Okay. So tell us about your college, where you went to school, and what you ended up majoring in while you were in school.
So we met on a blind date, and in 2001, and I think I was an art education major at the time, but I dropped the education part of it because that was going to take me too long to graduate, and I wanted to get married. So.
Understandably, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So he was a history major, and we met on a blind date, and we were married in 2004.
All right. And your major was history then?
Yeah, major was in history, and then I went ahead and got a master's degree in history too.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Neither degree, which I used. So.
And both of you were at the School of the Ozarks, or were one
College
of you?
College of the Ozarks. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now the other one's in Arkansas, isn't it? Maybe, I'm not sure.
They have a School of the Ozarks now, but it's like a K-12.
Okay. Very good. So, in that work in that part of your school years, you worked through that whole time as well. How now then, you guys are parents of four beautiful youngsters. So how has the way in which you were educated, working and all of that as you went along with it, how's that affected the approach that you guys are taking to educating your children? One of the reasons I wanted to talk with you is that the present circumstances we're in right now changed for a lot of people how they were having to go about the school part of their life. You, however, were already putting in a whole bunch of hours at that, and it continued pretty much as you were doing already?
Yeah, nothing really changed. Nothing important changed at our house. Nothing important day to day. So the reasons we were doing what we were doing, the how and the why and the what, all stayed the same. So, because we were all together. So everything, it wasn't stressful. It was a little bit more relaxing because all of our extracurriculars were canceled.
I see.
So that was sad because that's a lot of disappointment that everything, we just kept marking things off the calendar.
Yeah, like everybody else.
Yeah, yes, so yeah. We had to adapt. Which is fine. I like that aspect of homeschooling, is adapting and trying new things and doing things differently than what most people are doing. And when you do things differently, you get a different result a lot of times. When we were at College of the Ozarks, you related that question to us. In the summertime, we would work like 60 hours a week.
Right.
Because we would work 40 on campus and then whatever we could get off campus. So we were always going. And then, yeah, these past few months, everything just wow, we just have a lot of free time and we can enjoy these sunny days outside and we can enjoy the rainy days inside reading and snuggling and, you know, doing stuff like that. But the things that we had to adapt were, there was one class that Jacqueline and I had to do on Zoom. We met our grammar and English and writing class on Zoom, in a Zoom classroom, and we did that once a week. She met her orchestra class on Seesaw once a week, and the boys did FaceTime. They continued their piano lessons on FaceTime with their teacher, and that was pretty comical to watch, really, because I think they thought they were watching TV and not interacting with the piano teacher.
The participation part in it was
Yeah. So, and then the end of year programs, they had to be videoed and went online, and LTCE, a lot of those things went online, sent in our videos, and Jacqueline's orchestra teacher did a really cool video where she had to wear headphones to listen to the song and then come in and play her part, and then the orchestra teacher put them all together, so you had videos of all cool. that. So that was cool.
Yeah.
But then everything else, soccer was canceled, swimming was canceled, spring baseball was canceled, and then the biggie was Happy Hollow. Yes. And when that got canceled, there were tears.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Well, fortunately, Justin's helping us make some plans. Our families make some plans to provide some things, and we'll talk about that. I think that's one of the things a lot of our families can identify with.
Yes.
Let's talk a minute, Mike, about in your work, you have to combine, you're kind of the connection between two things that both got impacted here in the last few months by this, the public service aspect of life, but then also volunteer organizations and activities. How has all of that been for you to try to work through? Has it just interrupted all of it, or has it made you just try to find ways through it? Or
yeah, I mean, really what it did more than anything those first few weeks when, I don't know, March 15th, March 16th, somewhere in there, when things really kind of shut completely down. You know, a large part of what I do is go out and about, and I'm meeting with a lot of different people from different industries, and I kind of just know a little bit about a lot of different things, but I'm not really an expert on anything. And nobody wanted to meet, you know, at that point. And that's stayed fairly constant, especially in Greene County. Like, nobody in Greene County or Springfield is interested in meeting at all. I'm able to get to outlying counties now. They've all moved on from it. But
how many other counties do you have to go to?
We have 10 counties and part of an 11th in our district, but I really let a couple of other guys handle about 5 of those, and then I'll handle the other ones as needed. And then we have some other people that topically might handle some stuff in the area. So it caused some issues, you know, with just being out and about. And those first, we worked remotely for about 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Those first 3 weeks or so were pretty hectic, with just trying to keep on top of like what was going to be in different, you know, pieces of legislation and what was going to come through to help, you know, businesses that were contacting us, or, you know, different governmental entities that would contact and want to know what we were going to do about something, or that they had a problem or need. Is this going to be in this bill? And we really just didn't know, you know, for a long time, you know, kind of what was going to be in them. And so that was, you know, I was trying not to overpromise on a lot of that stuff and everything. And so, but then, it, you know, after about 3 or 4 weeks of that, honestly, it kind of got back to normal. And on the volunteer side stuff that you mentioned, the Wilson's Creek Battlefield Foundation stuff, you know, it's canceled a lot of events. I mean, we would have like a spring fling event, that would be like bluegrass and like a family oriented thing out the park. We had to cancel that. The park itself puts on a lot of like arts in the park stuff, and they had to cancel all of that stuff, which is like kind of musical, groups that would come in and play music, and they canceled all that. I think a lot of the August stuff is probably, I think there's people on the board that want to cancel it. Already, and so we'll see. I would imagine it gets canceled, you know, stuff. So
we all are praying for things to be back where we can go about everything. I know one of the things that you and I share some interest in is at least in some level, is history and some books that we both like mm-hmm. to read. You mentioned the Wilson's Creek Foundation. explain to our people who don't know your role and what that's been in recent years. I had the TV on, flipping through, and ran across Mike on TV with Wilson.
And I wasn't being arrested.
No, you weren't. You were doing a good work. Explain to our people what that role's been.
Well, for the last 3 years, I've been the board president, and the board was founded around 1950, I believe, and established the park. It became a national park, I think, in 1960. And the foundation really is like what they would call a friends group, and so we exist to kind of help preserve, protect, and promote the battlefield. Not a lot has happened outside the last year. You know, we raised about $1 million to help go towards a renovation project there with the visitor center.
Yep.
But and that's been
which is what you were talking about.
That's been
what was
going on then. And so we've done that. Otherwise it's a lot of just, you know, meetings and, we'll come across artifacts to buy, you know, sometimes that we'll buy and then donate to the park, for the new visitor center once that gets up and going and everything.
Good. So. Very good. Interesting. I wanted to explore a little bit how your faith in the Lord and how your involvement with His people has been helpful to your family and working through these events in recent times as well as all the time. But you guys have been back here, moved back here to be with us when 4 years, three?
Yeah, year, a little over 4 years.
A little over 4 years ago. So you've been really involved in helping us do things for families and for people who have kids like yours are. So you both are involved with the YFC activities for like primary age children. Mm-hmm. And you've helped us have a Facebook page for that. I remember right before we got interrupted, we had the big game night. So much fun all together. So how has it been for the kids through this episode we're going through?
It's kind of funny. Ike will ask every now and then. Ike's 7. And he'll ask every now and again, how many more days until the coronavirus is over? There's an end date. I guess it's just been kind of disappointing. Yeah. You know, a lot of things canceled, and our Easter egg hunt that we usually have was canceled.
You mentioned a while ago LTC. I know Tecumseh, that this was going to be his first year, and he didn't get to do that, or at least to make the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Jacqueline's been involved in a bunch of nice things that she does for people. What was she doing in LTC this year?
She was most things. You know, I guess the puppets and the drama were the only things that people just didn't get to do. You know, technically you could send in a video and do everything.
But it was hard to get everybody together for that.
It was a lot of wrangling, I know, with like some of the scrapbook stuff and
there was a group of them doing scrapbook, and both of our kids did photography, and I made them do speech. I don't know if I should have or not, but they did, and they got to video it, so it worked out well.
So they'll probably be glad someday when they have to be interviewed like this. The things that you guys did to try to keep some sort of classes going for our kids. I know you mentioned Seesaw a while ago on another connection, but you used it to try to make a class available for some children. What age kids, Gina?
Well, Brittany Morrison and I will do the first grade classroom here at the building. And we cover the Old Testament. So I already had the PowerPoints. I'll use a PowerPoint presentation in my class that has pictures, and then I just read about the pictures and, you know, read the story. And so I took those that I already had made and I recorded my voice reading them, and then just made it into a movie and uploaded it onto this app called Seesaw, and it's a classroom app, and it seems really safe, you know, for kids to navigate and everything. And then Brittany Morrison and her kids have been recording themselves singing songs that go along with those Bible stories.
I have been to some of you guys' classes. Very good.
Yeah.
So explain to parents or grandparents who may have children that could benefit from this, how to access that if they're interested. They contact you?
Contact me, and then I'll need their email. And I'll send you an email invitation, and then there will be a link in that email. And that'll take you to our classroom.
Okay. And are there other, maybe other resources that you found helpful for classes for the kids during this period of time? I know some of our other people are doing them in one form or another, too.
Well, Megan Jobes has been uploading some videos to our YFC page.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura Luna was doing some PowerPoint presentations also that she uploaded, and those were really cute.
Right. So you guys did memory verses too for a
little bit. Some of us did memory verses on the YFC page, and I don't know if we've done those lately. I think the weather's gotten nice.
And all the activities are starting back. I sure enjoyed seeing the kids on Sunday evening at our deal with the ice and stuff. That was... what was that? Goose, duck, or duck, duck, goose, or what? I'm not sure. A lot of energy invested. In your thinking about our communities have been through recently, and our families, I wonder if you can identify anything from it that would be a lesson that our families could take from this or should take from it kind of going forward. What could we kind of remember to take from all of this?
I think for me, it's been that we're not, this reminder, I guess, that, you know, God is in control here, that we can make all the plans we want, but that it's been a good reminder to kind of step back and remember to include God in things. Because you know how, at least this is the case with me, I would guess it's with other people, whenever things are going pretty well and you're just kind of trucking along through life, you know, you can almost forget to kind of include God on what you're planning and what you're doing and how you're, you know, you're spending your time or your money. And, you know, so it's been a good reminder, I think, of that, because... you know, like Tucker and I were talking once, this is hardly, you know, I think it's not London during the Blitz or anything like that. I mean, it's been this virus, you know, but it's just ground everything to a halt. Right. And so I think for me, it's been a reminder of that.
It didn't take a very big thing, did it?
No, it didn't. So, you know, and you've talked about that in some of your, either the bulletins or the thoughts for the days, you know, that we're really just kind of almost on a knife's edge, it seems like it doesn't take much to really throw you way off course. So to me, it's been kind of a reminder for that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Hebrews 13:8 goes with that a lot, because he's the same today, yesterday, and forever.
Right. So the things that really mattered before still do now and will after all of this is over. So What are you guys' hopes going forward with all of this stuff? What are your hopes for us as a congregation? What I saw with the kids the other night makes me hopeful about what can be and how much people want to be, you know, back to able to just live and enjoy each other. And all of that. I hope we can. I hope the activities of the summer prove to be a blessing to our youngsters, especially. I think they will be. You guys, and you're trying to care for the kids through all of this. How do you guys usually go about managing the the way the news information can tend to bombard a lot of our lives, and how do you protect them from the things that would make them anxious or alarmed all the time, like the news can do for us? Do you guys just not watch it, or do you?
I don't watch it. I don't watch the news, you know, at all. But the I get plenty of news during the day, usually just through reading it. But you know, I think we try to just control, you know, what we talk about in front of them, you know, and you know, I think the other night we were both talking that we've kind of fell into a trap a little bit of being, I guess, a little cynical about things depending on the day, of like that, you know, this will never end, you know, or that nobody wants us to get better, you know, or something like that. And we were kind of catching ourselves, you know, about that, because that's a real easy attitude to kind of let take control. Yeah. And it's easy for me, at least. And so, you know, I think it's really just, we kind of just control the flow of information, I guess, really.
Is it Philippians that says think on these things?
Yes.
I kind of look at that as we don't need to focus on the news that much. So we tell them what's going on, and we don't hide anything from them. But we don't want to make ourselves more anxious either.
Right. You're not pretending.
Right.
But you're also not giving space to the things to be anxious over, of which there are already enough.
Yes. And we're supposed to put on the full armor of God and be brave and courageous, and you can't do that if you're scared all the time.
So what you're saying is you focus more on what you're trying to teach your children, to focus more on who they are and what we do, and not as much as on what's going on, what else is going on, and what might go wrong.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Because we can't control all that.
Right. Very good point. So we've talked about in our other visits the ways in which the creativity of our people and of our family turns out to be a big blessing to all of us through all of this. You guys' family is a big case in point there. A lot of us benefited from the Thursday encouragement tour. How did you guys decide to come up with that, Gina? And if you want to tell what that is, you can, or I will, either one.
Well, my mom came up with it, and we named it the COVID Caravan, because it would be her car and my car.
And it was not to take COVID to other places.
Not at first.
Yeah, Chelsea and her kids went with us one day, so we had three in the caravan. But Jacqueline made us shirts that said COVID Caravan, and we would go to, I don't know, 2 to 4 houses every Thursday, and we would just wave and hold up signs and say, we love you and we miss you and how are you doing? And we would visit with them on their porches or in their yards, however close they wanted us to get.
At our house on the Big Rock, I noticed in the pictures.
We went to, we visited about 35 households. My mom would call them ahead of time to make sure that they were all there, so and that they didn't mind if we came. And Nancy Snyder, we visited her a few different times. We could just tap on her window is all we could do. But
yeah, and for our people who don't know, you guys have helped do the devotional over at Woodland Manor for a period of time, and you have a relationship with Nancy in that way already.
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing smiles with the signs and with your presence. The kids, in doing that, learn a hugely important lesson, I think, and that is that it lies within anybody's power to be a blessing to other people, and that a very little thing can mean a whole lot. You realize that a lot of the people that you guys visited were not getting any other kinds of visits, so that made what you guys did stand out to a lot of us even more. So thank you for doing that. So if I understand you right, nobody programmed that. Nobody organized it. Your mom just called people, and you guys had the idea of doing it. That's how so many good things in a congregation happen, I think. Are there any passages of Scripture that have been really meaningful to you all through all of this, or anything that has kind of been a favorite before, during, or after this that you would want to share with our congregation?
Well, Romans 12 has been really good, and I've kind of been trying to pray about Romans 12:12 every day.
All right, tell us what it says.
Well, let's see if I can remember it again.
Yeah. Okay. Doesn't have to be exact.
Exposed.
I know, exposed. I think it helps us with our cynicism, but I want to pray for the to have joy in the hope.
Yep.
And
not to stop praying.
And not to stop praying. Yeah. And then what's that?
Fervent in spirit.
Yes. Yes. So, and joy in tribulation.
Right. Exactly.
Yes, there we go. Thank you.
So the reason I think that's interesting is that we thought it was important enough that I had Justin to read it for us last Wednesday night.
Oh.
That very passage. And that's the one he ended, that's the verse he ended with, and we prayed over that at that time. So that will be a passage that will stick in my mind too, I think, going forward with all of this. So,
And for me, you know, I'd say it was probably more the idea, we were talking about it a little bit before we started filming this, that, you know, when you realize that God works through history and he works through people, and then, you know, we were talking once about just trying to be patient with, like, what on earth is this happening for, though? And it's, so part of it's kind of being patient and understanding that we may not know in our lives why it would have happened. It may be something that they don't know for another 100 years or something. But, you know, you think that, like, back to the book of Esther, when it's like, you know, that night the king couldn't sleep.
Right.
And then what came out of that. And, you know, so you, that idea or concept, I know it's not exactly a verse or a passage, but that idea of just being patient and understanding that, you know, God will work this through to his glory and for the glory of his people. You know, I think at some point it's just, we have to just kind of trust in that and know that, you know, that it could be through little small things that any of us can do, you know, or it may be something, you know, much more noticeable to the whole world.
That's a very important observation. It kind of reminds me of the situations, not just with Esther, but also in Daniel, where people find themselves in strange situations where they still can think.
It's just trying to be thoughtful, I guess, about that from my end, because I'd read in a book, you know, that talked about that same concept too, and it was saying that, you know, it's not like the Bible says, and then God did this next.
Yes.
It's just things happen. You know, Ruth and Naomi went to the barley harvest, you know, Esther, or, you know, the king in the book of Esther, you know, couldn't sleep and stuff like that. And
yeah, God just keeps working his purposes through it all. Yeah, it's very good. Well, we've had a whole talk, and I haven't asked you about the Patriots or anything like that. So we'll save that for another more fitting time, I guess.
Yes. We'll divide the congregation.
Yeah, that's right. We love you, family, and appreciate the things that both of you do to help a lot of other people. And I wonder if it'd be okay for you guys if I led us in a prayer for all of our families right now.
Okay.
Father in heaven, we're so thankful to you for your people in this world. We thank you for the privilege that we have in your family to be involved in each other's lives. We thank you for the understanding that our lives impact each other, and we pray that you'll help us, Father, to be good stewards of our influence in each other's lives. We so thank you for Mike and Gina and for all of our other young parents who are raising their children here along with us. We so thank you for their little ones and for the joy and the energy and the ability in their lives. And we pray that you'll help us to be mindful of our stewardship of of their growing up and of the, of their spiritual lives as they grow and mature. And these times, which are unfamiliar and strange to us, we do pray, Father, that you'll help us to give way to your control and to your rule and to your power and for your purposes in our lives. We pray that you'll help us to depend on your mercies, which are new every morning, and to be loyal to your steadfast love, and that you will use our lives for good purposes and to be a blessing in other people's lives and to serve to your kingdom's honor and glory. Please be the ruler in our lives and bless us according to what would be best. We're so grateful for your wisdom and for your love toward us. Bless this family and bless all our families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.